Okay, it's great to see everyone tonight. Tonight will be Shir, the third Shir in our series, which hopefully will go on for a long time. I thank Jonathan Teitelbaum. He sent me a message today that tonight is the day, the 130th anniversary of the completion of the Mishnah Berurah, which also written by the Chafetz Chaim, which it's interesting. I said the zechus to share and learn his Torah tonight. I also, before we get to the Chafetz Chaim, I want to thank everyone. Since giving the shir and preparing more for the shir, I've become much more sensitive to the way I speak and the way people speak with me. And I never even realized, or maybe I realized, but I didn't want to realize how often, I'll speak for myself, I would speak and hear Lashon Hara. I'll just give you two examples. Just 2 days ago, I bumped into an old friend, and he told me he has a new job in a practice, an office, whatever. I said, oh, so-and-so works there. And he said to me, yeah, they're not firm anymore. And I'm like, you can't say that. I don't need to know that. Why are you telling me? And I was upset myself for asking that. That was why. The other one was even crazier. I was speaking to a very distinguished Rav, a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, and we were speaking about another Rav, a psak that he gave, something that came up, all positive conversation. And he said to me, you know, this Rav, he's big, but he could have been so much better, but he had a bad shidduch. Like, you know, they say his wife, if it wasn't for his wife, I'm like, this is a person I look up to, I still look up to. The point is that everyone sins and no one's perfect. But so frequently these come up.
How do you react to that?
So the Chafetz Chaim is going to talk about giving
it's
rebuke
not
to
a
people.
Pleasant person, thank you.
Right. Okay. We have two more points in the Chafetz Chaim's Hakdama, and then we're going to get to our the practical halacha tonight with a very interesting situation the Chafetz Chaim deals with. I like to draw your attention to page 1. And we're just going to read a paragraph. The Chafetz Chaim, we said last time we met, that people don't even know what's Lashon Hara. People think everything is mutter, or they think everything is usher, then they say we can't talk, so what's the point? And the Chafetz Chaim writes on page 1, V'chol elu hasibos, all of these reasons, ikaram hu mitzad, shalom niskabitz b'makom echad, inyin Lashon Hara or rechilos. There's no, we're on page 1, on the left side where there's the arrow. There's no one place where all these halachos are found. If you wanted to learn Hilchos Shabbos, you could open up the Shulchan Aruch, and there's a section in the Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Shabbos. There's a section in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya on Basar B'Chalav, where you can learn the halachos of Kashrus. And there's a section about Ribbis, interest. But there's no one area in Shulchan Aruch where all of the halachos of how we speak are put in one place. And the Chafetz Chaim says, because of that, they're all spread out throughout Shas and Poskim and Midrashim and Mefarshim, so that's why people never really had a chance to learn about it. And I'm going to fix that, says the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm going to place all the halachas from all over Shas and Poskim and put them in one place. Now that begs the question, why is that so? Why is there not a section in Shulchan Aruch called Hilchos Lashon Hara? Why do we have to wait until the early 1900s for the Chafetz Chaim to compile all these halachos into one sefer? Why, if there's Hilchos Shabbos and there's Hilchos Kashrus and there's Basar B'Chalav and there's Ribbis and there are all Hilchos Yom Tov, and why is there no Hilchos Lashon Hara? So one explanation I saw given was that it's so obvious. It's so obvious that a Jew wouldn't speak about another Jew in a negative way that the Shulchan Aruch didn't have to put those halachos in. In fact, there are no Hilchos Midos. You don't find in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Midos. They maybe come up randomly, they're not in one place. And the answer given is because it's a prerequisite to being a Jew. They ask the Brisker Rav why they're not allowed to psukim in the Torah, Vayomar Shem Moshe, be nice, don't be arrogant, don't get angry, be empathetic, be patient, be sensitive. The Brisker Rav said the Torah was given to people. And if a person doesn't have proper Midos, he's not a person. He's not a ben adam. He's not a human being. It's a prerequisite to the Torah. So same thing with the way we speak. It was so obvious the Shulchan Aruch didn't need to place halachos about it. But then the Chafetz Chaim saw that people were living up to that. already in Arad in the early 1900s, he saw that people were struggling with this Avera, so he felt it was appropriate to compile throughout all of Shas and Poskim and Midrashim all the halachos in one area. That's our second to last point in Hakdama. If you look at page 2, he explains why he calls the work Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Not because of his name, because he got his name because of the Sefer. Right? So the Chafetz Chaim writes on page 2 on the bottom right where the arrow is, V'karasi Hashem HaSefer Hazeh B'chlalo Chafetz Chaim. I call this work Chafetz Chaim Al Shem HaKasuv because of the Pasuk. Mi Ha'ish HaChafetz Chaim. And the rest of that Pasuk is, who's the man who loves life? Oev Yamim Liros Tov. The person who's careful about the way he speaks, and that's why he called this work, which was going to guard, help people speak the right way, the Chafetz Chaim, the one who wants, who desires life. I saw very interestingly that the Chafetz Chaim was very worried that he wasn't going to get to the age of 70. And he felt if he didn't live to 70, it would be a huge Chil Hashem. Because he wrote this Sefer all about the way we speak, Lashon Hara, and the Sefer is called Chafetz Chaim because the one who doesn't speak Lashon Hara lives a long life, and he felt if he wasn't going to live till 70, it'd be a huge Chil Hashem. People are going to say, really? This gives you life? Why not 120? Because the Pasuk says, this Pasuk in Shabbos, Pasuk in Zimra, that we live until the average lifespan, I might begin the pasuk slightly off in the beginning of Shabbos Pesukah Zimra, that man's life is 70. The imbigvuros shmonim, the person is really strong, as is very lucky till 80. So he felt if I didn't live to 70, it'd be a chil Hashem. So when he got to 70 years old, he had a big sigh of relief. There's no longer a chil Hashem, but it's not necessarily a kiddush Hashem. And the Chafetz Chaim turned 90. They say he made a huge feast. A Suda, not a birthday party, because now there'll be a huge Kiddush Hashem, because I'm the one who wrote the Sefer about living called Chafetz Chaim for speaking. I'm Mr. Lashon Hara. I don't think he said it like that. It comes across a little arrogant. But Mr. Lashon Hara, look what happened. He worked on it, and he lived a very long. I mean, back then, living to 90 was almost unheard of. So that was a very, I thought, interesting anecdote about the title, the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, the next around 20 pages in the book, we're skipping the Chafetz Chaim. They're important to do. He lists all the potential lot ases and all the potential ases and all the potential curses that are violated or befall a person for speaking Lashon Hara. I'm not skipping it because it's very scary, even though it is very scary, but I thought if we would go through it, it would take 3 years to get to any of the practical halacha. So it's important to do. Maybe we'll find the time to do so. But I would like to start with the actual work, the Chafetz Chaim and the halachas, on page 3. So this is the start of the halachos of Lashon Hara. And in a few minutes, we will get to a very important piece for any parent or teacher. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the left side of page 3. Aser lesaper b'gnus chavero. It's forbidden to speak negatively about a person. Afilu al emes gomer. And we allude to this the first week. Even if it is 100% true. You saw it with your own eyes. You know it to be true, like there's sun in the sky, not right now, during the day. It's still forbidden Lashon Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in the parentheses, "De'im yesh bas sipur shalom." Turning the page before, "Ta'arovo shel sheker." If there is any falsehood mixed into the statement, "Va'avur zeh nisgana chaver yoser," and through that falsehood, the person is embarrassed or degraded even more. "Hu bichlal motzi shemra." That's not lashon hara. That's called motzi shemra, and we're going to see differences later on in his work between lashon hara and motzi shemra. The avono gadol harbe yoser. It's worse if it's sheker. So if it's not true, it's worse. It's motzi shemra. That's a different lav. That's a different iser than lashon hara. Lashon hara is actually only if it's true. The masaper over bilotase. Someone who speaks lashon hara violates a lo ta'aseh, a lav, Shenamar lo selech Rachel ve'amecha. A person shouldn't go like a peddler and just spread their wares and spread their words with things that are not right. V'zeh gam kein b'chla ruchilos hu. This is also called ruchilos. In Sif Beis, the Chafetz Chaim says, not only is it an Isra of Lashon Hara, but there are many other Isurim, which I alluded to in my introduction, that one violates when they speak Lashon Hara. If you could turn to, please, to page 5. Okay, Sif Gimel and Sif Dalad, the Chafetz Chaim says, Lashon Hara is if you just speak Lashon Hara, but if you're always speaking Lashon Hara, you become something worse, which is a Baal Lashon Hara. You become a person who speaks Lashon Hara, which is even worse. And the Gemara quotes a Gemara, Tosefta, that there are three sins that a person loses their portion in the world to come: idol worship, Gila Arayos, inappropriate sexual activity, and murder. And the Gemara says Lashon Hara is worse than all of them. Fine. Sif Hei is what I want to focus on tonight. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Ein chiluk be'isser ha-sipur, there's no distinction in the prohibition, bein im siper me'atzmo biritzono, whether he spoke it on his own volition, he offered the information on his own, ubein im amar alav chavero bidvarim, v'hiftziro ad she'sipur lo. Even if a friend stood over you and bothered you to no end, and incessantly pestered you for that piece of information, mikol makom aser, it's still aser. Later on, next week we'll talk about, let's say you're going to lose a job. You have to give up money to not violate Lashon Hara. We'll speak about that. Says the Chafetz Chaim, afilu aviv o rabo, shemechuyav b'chvodom u'bimoraam. Even if a father, and it wouldn't just be father, it would be a mother as well, a parent, or a teacher, a Rebbe, a Rav, who you're obligated to honor and fear. Sholist or the Ram, you can't contradict their words. Imhem bikshu mimenu shisapar lehem inyan ploni uploni. If they ask, tell us what so-and-so did. V'hu yodeya, and the child, the student knows, shebeso chasipur yuchrach lavo lidei lashon hara. Oh, afilu rak la'avak shel lashon hara. We'll talk about avak lashon hara next or a couple weeks. Aser lo lishmo mehem, is forbidden to listen to them. So a parent says, oh, tell me what happened in school. We heard something happened. There was a scandal. Someone got in trouble. Tell us what happened in shul. There's a father, a teacher, a child still is not allowed to listen to the parent for that reason. And because the Gemara says, ish, the pasuk says, ish imo v'aviv tiro, and the rest of that pasuk is, v'eshap sosai tishmoru. So a person has to fear and honor a parent, but shabsosai tishmoru. My Shabbos you have to keep. So even if a parent says, break Shabbos, violate an Isser, we listen to God and not listen to a parent. And therefore, even if a parent tells a child, you need to tell us, the child's not allowed to listen. And that's halacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I have the tshuva, you could take a look at it later. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, you run a school, you're a teacher, and something happened. Someone did something wrong, and it's damaging to the school, it's damaging to the grade, and you don't know who did it. And you know one kid didn't do it, but you know he knows who did it. This happens all the time. They asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, can a teacher have student A tell the teacher or the principal what happened with student B? Is that included in this prohibition of the Chafetz Chaim? The Chafetz Chaim writes very clearly, afilu aviv or rabo, a parent or a teacher, who you're obligated to fear, says, tell us something, a person's not allowed to listen to them. Eshab sosai tishmoru. So what about over here?
It does happen.
So Rav Moshe says a teacher cannot do that, even if it means not finding out the piece of information which could be helpful. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's forbidden. Why?
Because they do.
You're training the kid. It's terrible chinuch. You're telling the kid that Lashon Hara is okay. You're telling the kid that Lashon Hara maybe is not so good, but when it's really important. So the kid's not going to realize that it's, okay, this is different. It's important for you, but what I think is important is not really important. the chinuch, the training, the education the child's going to get, is that Lashon Hara is okay. That's where Moshe Feinstein's psak. Rav Vosner, who is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, who passed away a couple of years ago, he disagrees with Rav Moshe. Rav Vosner says that if there's a purpose in the comment, in the slander, that's not called Lashon Hara. That's called Lashon Tov. If there's a purpose. Now, the Chafetz Chaim is very strict with the parameters that have to be met, the conditions that have to be met to allow Lashon Hara for a toelis, for a purpose. But let's say there's a child who's bringing down other students, or there's a child who's engaged in dangerous behavior, and you need to know that information so you can protect other students or help that child. So Rav Vosner says, of course, it's going to be mutter. And we don't have to be worried that the child is going to think that the child is going to understand that this is different. Rav Sternbach, who's also a Rav who's living today in Har Nof, he says the way to do it is before you ask the student for the information, talk up how serious Lashon Hara is. And then say, even though this is such a serious prohibition, even though it's so terrible, I'm asking because I want to help someone. And that's their disagreement with the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Some explain that the reason Rav Moshe Feinstein held that way is because one of the conditions, this is very interesting, one of the conditions to allow Lashon Hara for a purpose is if it's totally L'shem Shemayim. So let's say someone calls me about a shidduch, and I know something to be true, which is for the benefit of the person asking me. I'm allowed, the halacha is, you're allowed to make the negative comment if it's going to protect the person who's asking you. We spoke about this after this year, last time. But the Chafetz Chaim writes, if you have any ulterior motives, then you can't share that information. You can tell them to speak to someone else. If you also don't like the person, and now you're going to get a certain enjoyment, like, finally it's mutter, I could say something negative about this person, so even though it's l'toeles, the Chafetz Chaim said it's no good. So there are those who explain that the reason Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't allow Lashon Hara through the student is because it's unlikely that the student is going to really be in it L'Shem Shemayim. He maybe wants to show off to the principal, get on a good foot. Maybe he likes the fact that kid's in trouble. But that's the debate between Rav Moshe Feinstein and these other poskim about Lashon Hara for a Rebbe to help other people. I'm assuming the same would be true with a parent. Now, I don't know if Rav Moshe Feinstein would still say that it's forbidden. This comes up all the time. Children do things they shouldn't do. Whatever. With one child, I could tell you all the bad things my kids do. My kids are perfect. They're tzaddikim. They never do anything wrong. But it's happened that you'll come down to the kitchen and someone took a marker and color all over the wall. Maybe only my kids are trying to be the next Picassos. But they do that. So you want to know who did it because you want to be able to educate. To educate with a lot of love your children. So who did it? So one child knows, so can I ask Yechiel to tell me who did it? Am I training him that Lashon Hara is very light? Or am I really teaching him that there's rules and it's harmful to just color on walls? It's tricky. I don't know. I don't know where Moshe doesn't talk about a parent and a child, even though a Rebbe does have a responsibility to teach his students. I think the role of a parent as the primary educator is stronger than that of a teacher. So I don't want to say what Rav Moshe Feinstein would say in such a case, but it would seem to me that it would be a little different, and maybe he would agree to the Rav Vosner and Rav Sternbach that it would be mutter in such a case. But however we paskin, certainly the notion of educating our children, whether they're young or older, in terms of speech, is very important, and kids follow what their parents do. We said we're going to keep it 20 minutes, so we are going to stop here. I thank everyone for coming, and everyone should have a good night.
Thank you.
If anyone wants those tshuvas, Their copy over here, you can take a look, it's in Hebrew. I bolded the part that's relevant if you want to take a copy.